Grab your Bibles. We're in Acts chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible, you'd like one, raise your hand. We'll give you one. Once you have it, Acts chapter 15. Father, we give you this time. We avail ourselves here, Lord, that your word might have impact and power in us and through us. We know that your word is living. It's sharp, sharper than a two-edged sword, able to divide out the thoughts, the intents, the deepest parts of our heart. And so we ask, Lord, this morning for you to release your word into our lives, to divide, to show forth, to reveal, Lord, to use it. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and he declared all things that God had done with them. But, verse 5, there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the heart, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. The book of Acts details a quantum increase, a giant leap forward in man's understanding of God. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, puts it this way. In the old times, in the past, God spoke to us by his prophets. But, verse 2, in these days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ. The book of Acts could be, should be probably titled, The Work of the Apostles by Jesus Christ. It's the practical working out of Jesus through the apostles. This change, this increase, this revelation of Jesus Christ through the book of Acts. Well, because of this change, because of this increase. There were a group of people, verse 1 says, verse 5 says, that wondered, okay, what do we do then with the Old Testament? There's Jesus Christ now. What about all those things that we used to do? What about all the laws that we used to keep? What does it have to do with us today? They wondered that. They questioned that. What application does the Old Testament, does the law have on us today? And we'll look at that question a lot more on Wednesday night. But in reality, we face the same thing in our country, in our short history. This book was written over 1,500 years, Genesis to Revelation. Our short country with a couple hundred years, we face the same dilemma. What do we do with some of those old laws, or some of those things that are still on the books? They don't seem to apply to us anymore. I have a sheet that has all these rules and laws and stuff that are still on the books today, as of 2004 at least. And some of them crack me up. They're still on the books. We're still supposed to follow them. Let me give you a couple examples of these antiquated laws. First, Alabama. It has this law on the book. Alabama does. It is illegal for a driver to be blindfolded while operating a vehicle. Now, you would think that would be obvious, but I guess it's Alabama, so I've got to spell it out for him. That'll get me in trouble. Luckily, I'm not in Alabama. I'm in Oregon. Indiana. Indiana has this law still on the books today. It says in Indiana, bathing is prohibited during the winter. I guess you have to be there to really believe that, to know that. I tell you what, this would be a five-year-old boy's paradise. You can't make me take a bath. It's illegal, Mom. New Mexico. Now, I just read them. I don't write them. New Mexico, females are strictly forbidden to appear unshaven in public. I don't know. I think the gals down there can probably grow out a better beard than me, so let there be no mistake. Oregon, back to our wonderful state. Now, I am convinced that this is unconstitutional. I'm going to contact my congressman. It goes against my right to pursue happiness. In Oregon, this is what's illegal in Oregon. It's illegal in Oregon to eat ice cream on Sundays. I know. Don't turn me in, because today I'll be enjoying a scoop of ice cream, I guarantee it. What do you do with those laws? They're antiquated. That's the question these guys had. But the difference is, these laws, the Old Testament, the Bible says that law was perfect, Psalm 119, converting the soul, not antiquated, not old, not written for some agenda. It's perfect. And so they had a reasonable question. What's the deal? What do we do with all these old laws? What are we supposed to do? So a group of them, verse 1 says, left Jerusalem, went down to Antioch, the first Christian church we've studied a bunch recently, went down there and began to teach them, listen guys, you've been saved, that's great, but you also need to be circumcised. And verse 5, you need to keep the commandments of Moses. 613 rules and regulations detailed from Genesis through Malachi. You got to keep them all, they said. They commanded them. You need to keep the Old Testament. You got to keep all of these rules. In fact, they say this, except, verse 1, you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. The question, it may seem like a silly chapter to you, a silly counsel to you, but the underlying question is the most fundamental, most important question of history. What does it take to be saved? What's required for me to have salvation? And they greatly debated it, verse 7 says. What is required? Is it just Jesus Christ, or is it Jesus Christ plus 613 do's and don'ts? Great debate. Salvation is on the line. Then Peter stands up, and he gives this answer that's perfect. Check it out in verse 8. What? is required for salvation? Well, God, verse 8, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Peter now recounts, remember, I went to the Gentiles first, Acts chapter 10, Cornelius. And as I was preaching to them, in the middle of my message, the Holy Ghost fell on them just like he did us. God knows their hearts. He saved them right then and there. So then he goes on to say, verse 9, he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But, verse 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Great answer, Peter. Not rules and regulations. What's required to be saved? Peter says this, it's faith by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's that simple. Salvation is not do's and don'ts. It's by faith through the grace of Jesus Christ. And we'll look at that more in depth on Wednesday night. What's required for salvation? What to do with the Old Testament? But what caught me, what interested me, was what Peter says in verse 10. He says this, during this discussion, during this debate, he says this, now, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Why are you putting this yoke on them that we can't bear? What's a yoke? Were these guys in a rotten egg fight? What's the deal here? No. A yoke in the Bible can refer to two things. First, it can refer to that piece of wood that would be shaped and formed to harness two animals together so that they might plow a field or pull a cart together. That's a yoke. But also, a yoke can be this, and that's what's implied here. A yoke in the Bible can be a set of rules, a system of thought, a way of life that a person submits himself to, follows. That's the idea here. You're putting a yoke, a system. You're putting a yoke, rules. You're putting a yoke, expectations on these people that are impossible for them to bear. That's what Peter says here. And he says there's a better way, verse 11. This is the better way. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. There's a better way. I am personally convinced that Peter here is recalling something that Jesus had spoken to him 20 years prior to this, back in the book of Matthew chapter 11. He talks about this yoke that's unbearable. Why? Because Jesus had spoken about a yoke, a different one. Jesus in Matthew 11 verses 28 through 30 says this to you and to me, to his disciples, to all that was hearing him that day. He says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I believe that's what Peter's referencing here. The yoke that you're putting on them is burdensome. It's wearying. It's heavy. Instead, there's a better way, verse 11. It's the yoke of Jesus Christ, one that's easy and light. And I'm convinced, personally, that every believer, every Christian will go through a chapter 15 council of their own, debating, what yoke am I going to be under? Is it going to be this yoke, verse 10? Crushes, that's unbearable, that causes weariness, that causes heavy laden? Or am I going to be taking up the yoke of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11? Which one are we going to be under? Which one are we going to serve? Well, I don't know, Matt. Well, let's take a look at them and find out. The first yoke, the yoke of chapter 15. If you boil down this chapter and get at what they're saying, what this yoke was, it's this. This group of people, these Pharisees, they believe this. When you get saved, when you believe in Jesus Christ, they had an expectation that then you would become a Jew. You believe on Jesus Christ, that's great. Now become a Jew. Follow the Old Testament rules. Eat the right kind of food. Dress the right kind of way. Become really just like me. That was their expectation. And one of it was, and part of this is, you need to be circumcised. You need to be circumcised. Now, I hope everyone knows what circumcision is, because I really don't want to go there this morning. If you don't know, if you have any questions on circumcision, feel free to come up here after service and ask Mark Skudstad. He'll tell you. There's this yoke of expectation, really, in Acts chapter 15. Put on these people by others. You need to be this. You need to act this way. You need to do these things. And Peter simply says, we're not able to bear it. It's going to break us. It's going to lead to that Matthew 11, 28, weariness, heavy ladenness. That's what it leads to, this yoke of expectation. And many of us have been put under these yokes, these expectations of other people that they put on us. Well-meaning people. These guys in verse 1, they're not hateful. They're not mean. They're not trying to ruin somebody's life. They were sincerely convinced this is the way to be saved. And there are people in our lives that are sincere. They're convinced. And they start putting these yokes on you. They start putting these yokes on me, these expectations upon us. Parents do it. Teachers do it. Pastors do it. And these expectations, we try to fulfill them. We try to please them all. Even our own idealism, we can put a yoke on ourselves, trying to meet some kind of standard, a yoke. And it leads to heavy ladenness. It leads to weariness. Pastors can be the worst at it, I think. Laying yokes on people. Unreal expectations. Giving incorrect direction. Happened to me as a little middle schooler, an eighth grader. I was going to a youth group. And our youth pastor, a well-meaning guy, loved kids, all that, he said this to us one time, one night, in our youth group. He looked at us and says, guys, girls, here's the deal. If you will memorize scripture, God will give you anything you want. And as an eighth grader, I heard that. And my ears pricked up. And I thought, wow, is that real? And I recall asking him, are you serious? If I'll memorize scripture, God will give me anything I want? Absolutely. My ears pricked up because I had one dream as an eighth grader. I had one hero as an eighth grader. Who was it? It was Joe Montana. There was nothing more in life than I would have wanted at that age to be an NFL quarterback playing for the San Francisco 49ers, following in old Joe's footsteps. But you know what? No matter how many scriptures I memorized, when I got into my freshman year, I was still 5'1", 92 pounds. And the team wasn't going to let me QB when I couldn't even look over the linebackers when they were kneeled down. It's just not going to happen. And I was serious about that. I remember going to college. The guys on my floor were pinning up pictures of their girlfriends, pinning up pictures of these gorgeous movie stars. There was one poster I pinned up in my room, Joe Montana. I thought, the Beavers are so bad at football right now. Maybe I'll get my break. I think, honestly, today I could walk on their basketball team. If you saw the game yesterday, you believe me. I had to give it up. That was an unreal expectation. That was a wrong direction from a pastor. It was hard. It was difficult. It took me till last night. That's why my eyes are puffy. I'm not going to be Joe Montana. I'm not going to play for the 49ers. These unreal expectations, these yokes, can be put on us by other people. And they become unbearable. They weary us. I put a yoke on myself quite often. I put pressure on myself, unreal idealistic expectations. As a pastor here, I can feel I need to kiss every baby and hug every grandma and have an answer for every person and remember everybody's names and save your uncle who's at church for the first time in 15 years. You know, I'd love to, but sometimes it's just unreal. And I go home and I'm weary. I go home and I'm heavy laden by it. I believe there's a better way. Rather, these yokes that are put on us by other people, there's a better way. That better way is described to us by Jesus himself. Flip over with me to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus describes a different yoke. Not a yoke that's put on us, pressured upon us by other people, but this yoke, he says, is taken up by you. It's taken up by you. He says this, verse 28 of Matthew 11. He says, "Come unto me, all that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus here gives one of the most refreshing passages in all of Scripture. He says, "Come unto me, all." Everyone, anyone, there's no difference, there's no distinction, even as Peter would say. Listen, he lets us all come. He didn't make distinction between people based on our past, based on our parents. He doesn't make distinction. He says, anyone who's heavy laden, let him come. All are welcome. And then he says, take. It's your choice. Not put on by somebody else, not forced upon you, but rather it's your decision. Take. Take this. Take my yoke. Take my yoke, he says, and learn of me. Not learn of Matt. Not necessarily learn of a church. Not necessarily learn from your parents. He says, learn from me. Take my yoke. Make that choice and learn from me, he says. And then what you'll find is rest unto your souls and an easy yoke and a light burden. Not put on you, not forced upon you, but rather taken up by you. What does he mean by this yoke? Why is he using that terminology? A person taking up a yoke. Why? Well, here's the deal. At this time, when there was an inexperienced new ox that needed to be trained, needed to take up the yoke for the first time, what a farmer, what a guy would do is he would take that new ox and he would pair that new ox with a very experienced, strong ox, the strongest one that he had, the most experienced ox that he had. And he would shape the yoke in such a way that the majority of the burden, the majority of the weight would be on the experienced ox. So really, that inexperienced ox, when he first took up that yoke, would be just kind of walking along, watching how this experienced ox did it, learning how to pull a cart, learning how to plow a field, learning whatever it was, just following, just flowing with a light burden. The majority of it would be held by the experienced ox. And he would just be along for the ride, really. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, yoke with me. Link to me. I'm your elder brother. I've been around a little bit longer than you. I know how to do this better than you. So link with me and you'll find an easy, light burden. And that word for easy is very interesting. It actually would be better translated well-fitting. The yoke that I'm going to give you is going to fit you perfectly. See, your parents know you pretty well. Teachers can learn more about you, but Jesus Christ knows exactly what fits you. Exactly what you can handle. Exactly what you're created to do. Exactly your purpose. So he says, yoke with me and you'll find my yoke is well-fitting. It's exactly what you're created to do because I know you intimately, perfectly. That's what he's saying here. That's the yoke to take upon yourself. That's the deal. Come, he says, learn of me when you do that. When you take on my yoke, you're going to learn of me. Not necessarily your pastor. Not necessarily an elder. Not necessarily a parent. You're going to learn of Jesus. Now that does not mean that you can now go to an elder or go to a pastor or go to somebody that's giving you advice and say, hey, go jump in a lake. Go fly a kite. I'm learning from Jesus only. That's not what I'm saying. But rather it's like this. When you yoke to Jesus, when you're in that well-fitted, getting directed, flowing with Him, what will happen is when people come up to you, it'll do one of two things. It can confirm what you're already feeling, the tug you're already getting from the Master, from Jesus Christ. That happens to me all the time. People will come up to me and say, Matt, you really need to try this. They'll give me advice. You really need to try the new endangered species, 80% imported South American chocolate bar. And I'll say, oh man, amen. I've been feeling that flow in my heart. No, seriously. I'll hear from somebody. I'll listen to a message. And I'll think, did my wife talk to you? Did she share with you? Because that's exactly what I've been sensing. That's exactly what I've been feeling. You're right. That is the direction that I've been tugged in. That's the way that my elder brother, Jesus Christ, has been directing. You've confirmed that to me. That happens so often to me. It's confirmed by people, but I'm already feeling it inside. And there are other times when people will say, you need to do this, or you need to try that, or this is some advice I have for you. I don't necessarily feel that way. I had a guy a number of months ago come up to me after a message on a Wednesday night out in the Rogue Bowl. It must not have been very good because he came up to me and said, Matt, I think you should really try next week allowing me to be up there and teach the message. And I looked at him and I said, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know you. I've never met you before. This is the first time I've met you. And in those situations, when I don't feel it, when I'm not flowing with it, when I'm wondering, this is what I say, you know what? Pray for me. Pray that I'll feel the same tug. I'll learn from Jesus Christ the same thing you're trying to tell me right now, that advice you're giving me. And you know what's interesting? Many times, down the road, a month, 6 months, a year later, I realize that advice that person gave me was right. They were just ahead of me in the field. They're up there plowing. I'm back here. It took me a year to get there. But now that I'm there, I find their advice. I find the tugging. I find what they said well fitting to me. Before, it would have been a load. Before, it would have been unbearable. Before, I couldn't have done it. But now that I'm at where you were, now that I'm up further in the field, that's right. You were right. You prayed for me. God now has shown me the same thing. And it's been wonderful. This is a way that's unbearable. It's a way that's easy. It's a way that's well-fitting. It's a way that's light. It's a way that works. Being yoked to Jesus Christ. Not an Acts 15 yoke put on me by other people. You're saying, Matt, this is elementary. This is basic. Obviously, we can't meet everybody's expectations. Obviously, people are going to put stuff on us that if we tried to do it all, we would run ourselves ragged. Obviously, Matt. The only way is to be linked to Jesus. That's the only way it's going to work. Totally. You're just getting that? Yep. Hope I didn't disappoint your expectations in me. But this is what I've found recently. I've found in my own heart that I was not restful at all. I've found in my own heart this trouble. I dropped my phone. It's troubling. this pressure that's been on me. And it's been very difficult. It's caused weariness. It's caused labor in my heart. And I was saying recently, Lord, why is that? Why am I restless? Why am I pressured? Why am I troubled? You promised me in your word that you would give me rest, verse 28. Where's the rest at? I'm not meeting the standard that I want to meet. I'm overwhelmed. I'm heavy laden. I'm burdened. Why is that, Lord? And I went back to this passage recently and read it. And I saw something I had never seen before. I saw something that for the first time a light went on in my heart. It ministered to me. Check this out. It says, verse 28, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I believe that speaks of salvation. Those that have been burdened, those that have been weighed down by sin, come to me. I'm going to release you from that burden. I'm going to free you from that weariness. You're going to, for the first time in your life, have peace with God. A rest, I'm going to give it to you. We've all experienced that for the most part in here. The rest, the release, the peace that comes from first following Jesus Christ. But then I kept reading on. See, verse 29 says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. I'm going to give it to you, the moment of salvation, a peace, a rest. But then he goes on to say, Jesus goes on to say, then take upon you my yoke, learn of me, and you're going to find a rest that satisfies your soul. I think this is what happens too often. We get the rest at salvation. We find that we're blessed. But then we begin to take on these expectations, these yokes, this idealism that begins to weigh us down, rob us of our rest, put pressure on us, anxiety. We become heavy laden. We become laborious. And so Jesus says, this is the key. Matt, you need to yoke up with me again. You need to learn from me again. And then you're going to find a rest in your soul. And I had to repent. I had to repent personally, Lord. I've been troubled. I've been wearied. I've been laborious. I've been overwhelmed, anxious, all that stuff. Why? Because I'm taking on an Acts 15 yoke. Expectations that are put on me that are impossible to bear. I had to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. I want to take your yoke upon me. I want to learn from you. And I want to find that rest in my soul. And you know what? I found it. I found that rest again, that peace that passes knowledge. The anxiety, the worry, the trouble, it's gone. Because I'm yoked with him again. And I thought about giving a three-part rhyming message on what it means to be yoked to Jesus. Come to him. Take from him. Learn from him. But to me, it didn't seem appropriate here. Because Jesus just simply says, you come to me. You make that choice. You make that decision to come to me, and you learn from me. And then I'm going to give you, you're going to find a rest. Jesus would talk to a couple of gals in Luke chapter 11. Martha and Mary. Martha was running around ragged. All these expectations people were putting on her. We need to have this, we need to do that. And so she was running ragged. She looked at her sister Mary, who was just sitting at Jesus' feet, resting. She got mad. And Jesus looked at Martha and said this, you are troubled by many things. You're troubled, you're anxious, you're wearied, you're labored. But she says, Mary, who's sitting at my feet, has chosen the better part. She chose the better thing. Don't rob her of that. Don't lay a trip on her. Don't yoke her. If you want true rest, if you want true peace, you have to make the choice. I can't make it for you. If you want to find the rest for your soul, you have to decide to do it. Not three rhyming points. You make that decision. And I'm convinced of this. I've found it in my own life. When you say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want to be yoked to you. I want to learn from you. I want to find that rest to my soul. He honors that decision. She has chosen the better part. She chose it. Not forced on her by a powerful message. She chose it. I chose it. And I've been freed from a lot of anxiety, from a lot of stress, from a lot of expectations that are put upon me. Instead, I want to yoke with you, Jesus. You lead and guide me. And he is. In a beautiful, powerful way. And if you're feeling Acts 15-ish, if you're feeling overwhelmed, weary, labored, if you've lost the rest, I want to pray for you today because I know what it's like. I want to pray for you. If you feel like you're in between verses 28 and 29, I want to pray that you would take on his yoke and learn from him and that you would find that peace again, that rest. Get rid of those anxious thoughts. Get rid of that labor that's wearing you down that you cannot bear. Instead, yoke with him. He'll bear the burden. You just get a flow with him and follow him. If that's you, then I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand up if that's you and say, you know what? I've been burdened. I've been anxious. I've been overwhelmed by this stuff. I want prayer. And I believe God will honor that prayer. I believe Jesus here saying to you this morning, right now, come to me. All who labor and heavy laden. I want you to raise your hand up. Put it up there. If you see somebody, look around. If there's somebody with their hand up near you, I want you to lay your hand on them as well. We're a body. Look beside you. Look around you. Lay your hand on those people. And we're going to pray that God will release all of us from this labor, from this weariness. And we do that, Lord, today. We can be Martha's, Lord, troubled by so many things. We can put unbearable yokes upon ourselves that crush us. And Lord, we know that's not your desire. So this morning, Lord, for those that have raised their hands, I pray that even right now, that those troubles would be released. That that weariness would be removed. That that anxiety, Lord, would be taken by you, that you would truly bear our burden. And that, Lord, this morning we would take upon us your yoke and that we would learn from you and that we would find a rest unto our souls, Lord. We would find that peace that passes understanding that comes from only you. So, Lord, for these that have raised their hand, give them that rest today. Lead them to find that rest, Lord, as they take upon your yoke and learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Be at peace, as the Bible says.